Today, in many places of the world, it is harvest time. Crops are being gathered for the use and benefit of all mankind. Besides being an appropriate time for all of us to give thanks, harvest time should be a time of personal contemplation, evaluation, and planning. In farming or in just plain living, what contributes to a successful harvest? What can we do to ensure better crops and production? On the other hand, what could cause us to forfeit the harvest? In the 13th chapter of Matthew, by use of the parable of the sower, the Savior points out conditions that can cause crop failure. He answers the question, who will forfeit the harvest? His warnings and observations are worthy. The same stony places are with us now, and unless we are mindful, our personal harvest can be lost. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell among stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The promise of the harvest is there for those who receive the seed unto good ground and establish roots that are strong. Let me share with you four prevalent conditions on the horizon today that can cause us to lose the harvest. Number one, unwillingness to accept human qualities. When Jesus had taught with such profound wisdom, judgment, and skill, some of those closest to him were astonished by his amazing abilities and miracles and said, "Whence hath this man his wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? Are they not all with us?" They were mightily impressed, even astonished at his words and works, but had difficulty accepting the source. Is not this the carpenter's son? Are they not all with us? Today, some are sowing seeds in stony places because they too doubt the authority of those who give counsel and direction. There is a tendency on the part of some to ignore, criticize, or rebel because they cannot accept the human delivery system. Some will not accept Jesus Christ as a Savior because they are waiting for a Prince of Peace to come who is not quite as human as Jesus of Nazareth. Questions such as, "Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not this the one born in a manger? Can any good come out of Nazareth?" are evidences of the weakness of mankind, who are unwilling to accept the human qualities of those who are called and raised up to give direction and counsel. We too should not be deceived by doubters who would use the same tactics by planting thorns to destroy the harvest. How can we avoid crop failure in this area of concern? By not allowing our roots to wither away by winds of storm. Is not this the one who was raised in Arizona? Is not this the one who came from Canada? Is not this the one who was born in Mexico? Go to our new bishop for counsel. Is not he the one who lives just up the street? We read in Matthew, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, "A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." The concept that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house, was a tragedy for the Galilean people. Shortly after this time, Jesus left Nazareth and the Galilean ministry to concentrate most of his efforts in the southern part of the country near Jerusalem. Think of what miracles, manifestations, and healings of body and soul might have been enjoyed by these people if their faith had been sufficient to accept the great works of his faith. But he left them, never really to return again. I remember President Harold B. Lee telling the story of a very prominent man from New York who could not accept Joseph Smith as a prophet because he was too close to home. Will we forfeit the harvest because we cannot accept direction, revelation, or counsel from someone who lives just down the street, in the ward, or in the stake? Will we reject leadership from the churchman who is human, with frailties, and who has family members who may be quite human also? Safety can be assured for us if we believe all that God has revealed, all that he does now reveal, and we believe that he will yet reveal many great and important things pertaining to the kingdom of God. May I add, these revelations will come through people, even the prophets, with human qualities. Number two, an unwillingness to accept change. If we are unable to accept change in the language of the parable of the sower, we are those with no root. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. If our roots are deep, we will welcome continuing revelation, change, and direction. We will accept the ability to see and receive releases, callings, and new challenges with enthusiasm. We will be too busy to be offended. We will be too big to be hurt. We will serve wherever we are with anxious dedication. We will accept people for what they are and what they can and do become. Change will not only drive our roots deeper, but cause them to grow into new and fertile soil. Some years ago, a young mother of my acquaintance shared this event in her life. She had been active in youth activities in the ward for several years and was the president at the time of the young women. A stake president called one day and asked her to meet with the stake presidency the following Sunday afternoon. With anxiety in her voice and tears close to the surface, she went to her husband and said, "I'm afraid they want me for a stake job. I don't want a stake job. I love the ward. I love the youth in our ward. I love my counselors. I love my job. I don't want to change." Her husband said, "Please go and see what they want. I'll support you in any assignment." Her fears were realized. She was asked to be stake president of the young women. Later, the stake president told her that after she had reluctantly accepted the call, he had never seen a more forlorn-looking person walk out of his office. For over 6 years, with the same sisters as counselors, she took care of the stake work for the young women. "Those were some of the best years of service for me," she said. "My horizons expanded. I became acquainted with the wonderful leaders and the great young people in our stake. I had leadership experience with other fine leaders in the whole valley. Later, the opportunity came to serve on a general board. I shudder to think what I would have missed had I declined the change of assignments." Our Father in heaven knows what we need. Change can be difficult. Change can be fearful. But change in the right direction is a growing process. Each new assignment, each new experience in the gospel framework, if fulfilled to the best of one ability, adds new strength. Resistance to and resentment of change, of new assignments, of new opportunities, are stony places that may keep our roots in the gospel from growing deep and growing strong. It was Theodore I. Reuben who wisely said, "If we let it, life produces endless experiences that demand change. If you are motivated and willing to struggle, you can change and grow for as long as you live. This is the challenge, the pain, and the joy of being human. Sometimes we are unwise and even cruel in our unwillingness to accept change in others. I recently learned of a man who raised his family and pursued his professional life in a small country town. He was not without his personal problems, but was a good man with a great heart who loved the Lord and the gospel. Mistakes, even small ones, are not soon forgotten in some neighborhoods. And he, nevertheless, never seemed to be allowed to grow, blossom, develop, and change into what he had become. As a missionary serving overseas, he made a remarkable contribution. The mission president said he had done more to bridge the cultural gap between the two countries than any other adult American was ever able to do. Yet when his mission was over, he returned to the small town, and without malice or evil intent, but with the insistent burden of memory, his neighbors did not invite him or let him be the man he had become, but rather seemed quite prepared to see him as the less attractive man of an earlier period. Because of their expectations, he completed the last years of his life much less happy and much less involved and surely much less productive to the kingdom than he had been for that one glorious period where people in a new land and in a different time allowed him to change and be what he really wanted to be and in his heart really was. Let me share one other example. A friend of mine went to school with a boy who did not have much home life and for whom the gospel did not mean as much as it would later. He drank a little and caroused a little. But later, after moving away from his hometown, he became very active in the church. His one dream was to return to his hometown and start a business, which he tried to do. But unfortunately, as with the other man, the people in the community insisted on treating him as he had been, not as what he had become. He finally moved away and is doing remarkably well in his business and in the church. He recently expressed to my friend how deeply disappointed he was that his former friends and townspeople had not let him come home, even in a gospel sense. Number three, an unwillingness to follow instructions. These are they who may forfeit the harvest because they will not be obedient. Hearing they hear not, neither do they understand, is a description of the parable of the sower to describe those who fall into this vulnerable territory. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. We too will fall among the thorns and be led away from our promised blessings if we fail in obedience. I was very impressed a few days ago when I heard an eager, reactivated elder say, "I'm back in the church and active today because my elders' quorum came to see me when I didn't want to be seen and loved me when I didn't want to be loved." Here's an elders' quorum president obediently doing his job as it would be done. Sometimes when we are asked to be obedient, we do not know why, except the Lord has commanded. From 1 Nephi chapter 9, verse 5, we read, "Wherefore the Lord has commanded me to make the plates for a wise purpose in him, which purpose I know not." Nephi followed instructions even though he didn't fully understand the wise purpose. His obedience resulted in blessings to mankind all over the world. By not obeying our present-day leaders, we plant our seeds in stony places and may forfeit the harvest. Number four, an unwillingness to be totally committed. The parable of the sower would refer to these as those who have no deepness. They are those without commitment or testimony. These are those who would be convenience members. Some testimonies spring up quickly, flourish for a while until the heat comes on or a stony place is encountered. then the withering starts to take place. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. Deep and enduring testimonies grow and strengthen as they are daily nurtured. They increase as they are shared. Meaning testimonies have roots planted in fertile soil. The sun, the rain, and even the storms make them stronger and more durable. As the events of daily life come upon us, some testimonies wither under the heat of everyday occurrences. Roots are shallow. Testimonies fade, and there is no harvest. Let us seek to be totally committed. Then we will not fall upon stony places, wither away, or stray from the paths of security and happiness. Those who serve with complete dedication, whether wherever, do not wilt, wither, wander, or wander. Their roots are deep and solidly planted in the fertile soils of the kingdom. The harvest is enjoyed with every passing day as they serve. Let us not forfeit the harvest. If we forfeit the harvest, what do we lose? Most of all, we forfeit the gift of eternal growth and progress. May we avoid the stony places of 1, unwillingness to accept human qualities, 2, unwillingness to accept change, 3, unwillingness to follow instructions, 4, unwillingness to be totally committed. By so doing, we can establish deep, strong roots and thus reap the harvest our Father in heaven wants for all of his children. For this I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.